You know, it's funny, our culture really does love Valentine's Day. And I don't think it's just for cards. I think there's a thing in our human nature that wants to know what love is. And I found this is interesting. According to a couple of recent surveys, it turns out that Americans this year are planning to celebrate the holiday. They're planning to spend an average of $175 to $210. Now listen, Bucky's saying no. But let me further prove my point. For couples, now this is what's funny. For couples, it peaks at $247 if they've been together for less than 2 years. Now for the people like Bucky, the rest of us, right? For those that have been together longer than 2 years, the spending drops down closer to $150 and then lower and lower and lower. And it is funny because when I was growing up, like when Jess and I, we've been married for 14 years, together for 15, or this is like our 15th or 16th one, I can remember the first two, I'm going all out, right? I'm buying the teddy bears, I'm buying the, not, listen, I did not buy the dollar store card. I bought the Hallmark card with the pop out and the noise that comes out, it's like singing you a song. I went, like, that's like $10. I would go all out for that stuff. But the longer we've been together, obviously, with children and everything, that kind of drops. And we didn't even go out to dinner or anything this year. It's like, what do you want? I'll put a frozen pizza in there for you, babe. You know? We went all out. Now, our culture loves Valentine's Day, but there's just one problem, I think, is that our culture and society doesn't really understand what love is. And I would even say, you know, for us, it's even a little bit difficult if we were to be honest. I think it's hard for us to understand what love is. So the title of my message is, I Want to Know What Love Is. How many foreigner fans we got in here? I just won you all over, didn't I? I want to know what love is. And then I want. There you go. So that's the title of my message today. God is good. I found some quotes for this very question of what love is from little children. Noelle, age 7, she says, love is when you tell a guy that you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. See, that's love in middle school or elementary school, but when you get older, again, and that's called a psychotic problem. Mark, age 6, says, love is when mommy sees daddy on the toilet and she doesn't think it's gross. There's something to that, I'm just going to say. Because you know what it was like when you first started dating. Like, you made sure the fan was on and you opened up the window, turned the water on. You had to close the door. You actually had to wear pants around the house. It was crazy. Elaine, age 5, says this. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Amen. That is love. It's love. And then finally, Emily, age 8, says, love is when you kiss all the time. Then, when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and talk more. My mommy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss. See, we can all laugh at those, but I think there's something deeper in us that's like, love is kind of hard to understand. It's kind of cryptic in nature. And if we were to be totally honest, I think when we talk about the love of God, it's like, what exactly is that? When we look at our Bibles and we read, we love because he first loved us in 1 John 4:19, it's like it invokes this love. It's an interesting word. What is love? What does that mean? What does that mean? I believe for us as Christians, as followers, living in, at least here in the United States of America, I think it's hard because we don't totally understand the love of God that he commanded us to have for one another. So this morning, I want to know what love is. Do you want to know what love is? Oh, that's good. So first thing I think we should do, I will show you. Oh, that's good. All right. So what we want to do first, I want to look at human love, because that's the one we get. Our society gets, we understand, but I just want to go over it. We naturally believe that, listen, this is more of like a strong attraction. It's more of a feeling. It's an emotional attachment. The Greek words, they have a couple Greek, there's a lot of Greek words for love. The Greek word for love is, one of them is phileo, or phleia. This would be like Philadelphia, the brotherly love, but it's more than brotherly love. It's a love that, you know, you care, you have a strong friendship. It's honestly what a lot of marriages are based off of is this, but they're also based off the second one, which is eros. Is there any kids in the room? This is where we get the word erotic. So just, it's passionate love, attraction. How many married people know that disappears after a while? Especially my wife for me. That. So it's just like, you know, we have these different types of love. And no matter what, though, when I'm talking about these loves, when it comes to human love, they're all very temporary. They're all very conditional. See, when a teenager comes to me and is like, I really love my boyfriend, I'm like, look, and you don't know what love is. You have no idea what love is. They're saying mostly, I have a very strong attraction to that person, right? I have an emotional attraction to that person. Or, you know, a little side note, I mean, we could say in dating relationships for young couples, I'm just going to tell you this, if it's based off of any of the human loves, if that's what the solid foundation is on, you're in for a whirlwind of trouble. Whirlwind of trouble. When I say, listen, I'll say sometimes I love that restaurant. I love going to that restaurant. I'm using that because I love the place. I love the food. Maybe there's a strong emotional attachment to that. See, when it comes to human love, it's often based on feelings and merit. And when someone does something to make you happy or smitten or have positive feelings, you love them. But human love is incredibly disposable. You know, it's funny, in the same way, well, your shoes, I love these shoes, and then when they get old and tattered, you throw them out. It's very similar to how we act with our relationships in marriage, right? It's our culture, it's rampant with it. Oh, it doesn't work out anymore, it got a little hard, things are difficult, just get rid of it. You hear the word, I fell out of love with someone. It's conditional, that's what human love is. But let's be honest, even our favorite restaurant. If you have your favorite restaurant, just think what it is. If you go there tonight for dinner and there's a big old hair in your mashed potatoes just sitting there staring at you, you're going to think, I hate this place. How quickly would that change? It's temporary. It's fickle. Human love can be tarnished by inconsistency, lies, betrayal, and intentional or even unintentional harm. We have a hard time forgiving those who hurt us, who've done wrong to us in some way. And that can add some friction to the relationship. See, this is the love that our culture understands. And unfortunately, that definition of love has run rampant in the church. I'm just being honest, not just here. I'm talking the church, right? That the definition of human love has run rampant, and then we start to apply it to God. We apply it to our marriages and our friendships and our churches. It's incredibly dangerous, because if we're looking at God's love the way that we look at human love, we're going to make some terrible assumptions about who God is. He doesn't operate like us. He doesn't operate like us. So, with that being said, with this love, and I know it's tough because, you know, the same way I say I love my wife, I use that word love, is the same word I say I love tacos. And we know that they're different. We know that I love tacos, it's different than how I love my wife. But the love that we have for humans, the human love we understand, and the love that God has is completely and utterly different. So let's talk about God's love. Before we get to that definition, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 13. And while you're there, I just want to just lay out, listen, there are ton, like, listen, our scriptures are full of God's love everywhere. And it was really hard to not jump around all over the place, but I really wanted to pick something we could sink our teeth into, have more of like an expository preaching moment. And there's so many moments here, but this, you know, like, I want to, before we get into this, I want to say God's love isn't just something about him. It is him. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, it tells us a few times, God is love. It's not just something about him, it's him. Like, not just like, it's not like he can turn the love valve on and off. It's who he is. And when you wrap your mind around that, because it's different for people, right? You could say, oh, I love my wife, but that's temporary. That could change based on human love. So let's get into this. In chapter 13 of John, I want to give you a couple context, a little context here before we get into it. This is all taking place before Jesus gets arrested, right before Jesus is falsely accused, right before Jesus is mocked and beaten and hung on a cross and then ultimately comes and saves the day 3 days later. This is happening right before the nasty stuff. So here we are in verse 2, John chapter 13. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So right here, verse 4, so he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, there's something I want to point out as we're reading this that's very vital for what we have. I want you to realize that this is very important, that Jesus had the foreknowledge. Listen, we don't have foreknowledge. If we did, we'd be in big trouble, right? Jesus had the foreknowledge to know that Judas was going to betray him. He knew Judas was going to betray him. And also, we also know this because in verse 38 later on, that Jesus also had the foreknowledge that Peter was going to deny him 3 times. So just remember, while he's doing this act, he knows already what they've done. Jesus knows Judas is going to betray him. He knows Peter is going to deny him. But right here we see that Jesus washes their feet. When I look at this word love, I'm trying to wrap my head around how does that make sense. If you have the foreknowledge to know somebody is going to betray you, we don't act well when they do betray us, right? But if you have the foreknowledge to know, what kind of love is this? The Bible calls it agape love. You've heard of this, right? Agape love. It's the love of God, like I said. It is completely different than humans, and it is who God is. Not what, not an attribute. It's who God is. Agape love. It's completely different. It's not conditional, meaning nothing changes it. It's unconditional. It's God's love. It doesn't change. Listen, it doesn't change if you offend him. That seems upside down to us because in our way of thinking, if you offend me or hurt me, then I am going to turn on you. I am going to cut you out of my life. Get out of here. But listen, he doesn't fall out of love for us. He is love. This analogy here of him washing their feet is showing and demonstrating this love. See, he doesn't have this like, oh, I can't forgive. We tend to not forgive. Have you noticed? That is a real hard thing to forgive. Maybe, I don't know, we all have a friend. Let's just call it a friend. That's what we do, right? I have this friend who has a hard time forgiving someone. That's us. We all have that friend. Maybe it was a family member who hurt you. Maybe it was an old friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe you're still holding on, I don't know, from a grudge from Tom Brady because he beat you up for 18 years straight. I don't know what the grudge is, but we have this thing where we love to hold it. That grudge feels so good. And then what is that grudge? When we hold on to it with that, because a human love is temporary, what does that happen? When we hold on to an unforgiveness, now there's division in the relationship. Jesus, God, does not have that type of love. He has agape love, which is always forgiving. His forgiveness is nonstop. His love is unconditional. Nothing can change it. Now, what's crazy, I'm just going to hop over real quick. You don't have to turn there. You can write it down to Romans 5:8, because it says this. It is important. For God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hold on. God loved me while I was still messed up and not, my heart wasn't turned towards him. What's crazy is we think about it, well, God loved me when I turned my heart towards him. No, God loves you before you did that thing, before you turned to him, even before you screwed up. Listen, if you're here this morning and you have yet to give your life to the Lord, I can tell you right now, he loves you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He cares for you. It's unconditional. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It doesn't matter what you do in the future. His love is agape, unconditional love for you. Amen. I like to refer to this as out of this world love. Because there's nothing, look around our culture, there's nothing that shows this type of love. Everything we do is conditional. God's love is unconditional, and there's nothing you can do to change that. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I did. Nope, I don't. God knows, and he knows what you're going to do. And he still loves you. So what the Bible says. He loves you unconditionally. There's nothing you can do. So God's love is unconditional, which is incredibly different than our love. But God's love, it's forgiving and it's sacrificial. When Jesus wiped and washed his disciples' feet, even when they begged him not to. I love that too. Like, he's trying to do this thing. They're like, no, no, you can't. It's like a false humility thing or whatever, you know. He still does it. Now, what he's showing here is that agape love is not only unconditional, it's forgiving, but it's also incredibly sacrificial. God in the flesh is washing the feet of his creation. When we look at this, it's a true servant. The creator of the universe is doing something that a slave should do. When you see him take off his robe and he wraps it, he's wrapping himself. That's something a servant did. He's now taking this lowly position to people who he knows are going to betray him and deny him. And he's still serving them. I don't know if you've ever washed babies' feet. It's fun because they're beautiful. They're so cute and they're like, oh my gosh, they're so nice. Something happens between that and they turn 30. They ain't so beautiful anymore. I was going to take a picture and show it on the screen, but I didn't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Didn't want to do that. Yo, listen, these guys didn't wear, like, nice shoes. They didn't take showers every week like I do. They weren't cleanly. They didn't have, like, baby feet. They had disgusting feet with calluses. Probably, I don't know, maybe a bunion here or two. It probably had that toe fungus that you're like, I should probably get that checked out. So when Peter, I can kind of relate to Peter. When Peter's like, Jesus, please, don't. Please do not wash my feet. I can relate because I wear socks all the time. I'm wearing socks in the shower. I'm like wearing socks all the time because I don't want people to see. I don't even want my wife. I mean, I told you about the toilet thing. This is different. I don't want her to see my feet. They're gross. And she sometimes sees them and tells me they're gross. So she does. She's like, you got to go see Darcy Domes. Come on. A little shout out to Darcy, wherever you are. These guys didn't have Darcy Domes to give them a pedicure. Their feet are nasty. And Jesus is saying, not only are you filthy, but I'm going to make you clean. You know, there's actually, they've done studies on this and they've looked at it. This idea of foot washing is a very, it's more than just a humbling thing. He's actually forgiving them right then and there by washing their feet. Some say that it was actually kind of like John the Baptist already had baptized them at this point. We know that because Jesus says that later, that they've already been baptized by water. But some say that this is almost like, again, we're doing it again, we're washing it. And it's he is saying, not only do I love you unconditionally, not only do I forgive you, but right here I'm doing something so sacrificial that it blows your mind because it doesn't make sense. We are the Peter. Please, God, I don't want you to see the filthy stuff inside of me. I don't want you to know. He knows. He knows that you're going to betray him or deny him. He knows that your feet are nasty and your heart's nasty. But he makes this unbelievable act of love. His love is always unconditional. It's always forgiving. It's always sacrificial. Let's go back to that Romans. Here you go, Jody. Romans 5:8. Because again, it shows us God's agape love for us. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, we got this, Christ died for us. He died for us. How did he show his love? Well, maybe he said really nice things about me, you know, words of affirmation. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because he spent time with humanity, quality time. Maybe he gave us a puppy. I don't know. No. God showed his love for us. He demonstrated it. He showed it to us by dying for us. He died for us. As we just sang, listen, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve his love for me, but he didn't deserve to die for me. He didn't deserve that. It's not like listen, if we were God and made that choice, I'd say, God, we're done, right? I only do what I see the Father doing, except this, I'm out, because I know these people are nasty and gross. Come on. He died for us. He died not to demonstrate just a power over us. He didn't die just to show us how much we loved him. He didn't show us, he was doing it so that he would show us how much he loves us, and it doesn't change, no matter what you do. A lot of times we lose emphasis on this in the gospel. No, seriously, for some reason, we walk around thinking that God loves me because I love him. We do. You might not say it. You might not, but sometimes we act that way. We almost read it like John 3:16. For the world so loved God that he gave his only begotten son. We're not saying that. You probably theologically know that's not true. But there's some way in the way we act that says what I do is conditional based on if I do the right thing, then God will love me and bless me. The Bible says that he reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. So his love for you is unconditional, it's sacrificial, it's forgiving. He's doing it because he loves, it's just who he is. For God so loved the world. He so loved the world. That word so loved, when you put so and loved in there, you could say it's like obsession. He has an obsession with us. He has a foreknowledge to know that we will probably screw up. We're going to screw up. Sorry to tell you. And it's almost like he's saying, for God so loved. So he was so obsessed with the world that he died for a bunch of dirty, rotten, nasty people. That he died for those who are nasty, filthy backstabbers. That's reckless love. You want to know what love is? That's love. It's unconditional. It's incredibly sacrificial. And it's really hard for us to understand. I don't know. Well, I had this written out, and I'm not sure if this is, I don't know. There's more, I'm sure. But I have three reasons why God demonstrated his love for us. Number one, so we would experience and accept his agape love for us. Listen, I think he did it not just to show it off, but so that we would then receive it so that we could have community with him. It's crazy. It's like the idea of, I don't know if you've ever done something so that somebody will like you. That's not what he was doing here. He did it because he just loves you. He wants to be with you, but it wasn't a manipulating thing. There's a lot of manipulation in our world, right? Well, we'll give this gift to my wife so she doesn't hate me anymore, or I'll do this, and I'll tell my boss this so he's not mad at me, or I'll do this so that the person likes me. God wasn't doing it. It's just who he is. But he wants you to experience that love because he knows that we don't know what it is. He knows we can't even wrap our minds around it. So that's one. The second thing is, so that we would then take that love and return it back to him. So that we would love him unconditionally. Some of you think, well, of course I do. I don't know. Been doing this Christian thing for a while. I've met people mad at God. I've met people who things didn't work out. They said, well, God might not be good. I've met people who have an unforgiving love. Like they are unforgiveness towards God. God is saying, listen, I'm doing this so that we can have a relationship together that's both unconditional, forgiving, and sacrificial. Last night we heard from Liz and Austin Pierce. They shared about, they had their beautiful little boy, but they shared about right before that where they lost one in a miscarriage. And Liz said these words. She said, God, she said, even if things don't work out the way I want them to, you are still good. Even if this baby doesn't come to term, you are still good. And she had to say it. She had to confess that. This is what God did for us, not just so that we would experience his love, so also we would give it back to him like that. And the third one is so that we could strive to love or agape others. You might be sitting here thinking, well, we only have human love. How am I supposed to show? Listen, we're going to get there. God gave you agape love. He gave it to you so that when you understood how much God loved you, you could give it to others as well. In this passage we've been reading in John 13, we see this played out pretty well. In verse 14, it says, Jesus says this, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you this example that you should do as I have done for you. Sacrificial, forgiving, and unconditional love to those around you. Jesus is showing his agape love so that we can do it. And then here in verse 34, Jesus had washed their feet. They shared in the Lord's Supper, which we're going to do here in just a moment. And he's telling them that he's got to go soon. But I want you to hear these parting words. In verse 34, a new command I give to you. Love one another just as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. I want to just point out how this thing starts off. It says a new command, not a suggestion. Let me get my preaching going on here a little bit. This is a command. It is not a suggestion. It's an order. It's a dirty word, mandate. It's not optional. He's not asking you, please, will you do this? Will you please love one another like I have loved you? He's saying, you've got to do it. You've experienced the love I've given to you. Now you go out there and give it to other people. Not if you want to, because it's unconditional. It's not if you feel it or not. It's unconditional. You must strive to have an unconditional and sacrificial love for one another. If somebody hurts you, well, what did Jesus do? He knew they were going to hurt him. He washed their feet. He knew it. You must strive to do it. God is saying, listen, I have shown you this unconditional, forgiving, and sacrificial love to you, and you must do the same to one another. And this is the best part. This is how they will know that you are a follower of me. think about that just really quick. Just think about that. I will know who is like who is a follower of a favorite sports team because they are saying the chants, they're wearing the clothing, they're doing the things. I can look and say, I know who they are. But imagine if somebody was walking around saying, I don't know why anybody doesn't know I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. They don't go to games. They don't talk about it. They don't do anything. They don't live it out. It's like, no, duh. Nobody would know because you don't tell anybody. You don't show that. Jesus is saying, I want you to mimic the best of your possibility, the best you could do, mimic what I've done. And you can do it because you've experienced the love I've given to you. See, you can't do agape love without him. You can't, I can't, our world can't, look at it. It's full of the phleo, which is good love, or eros, it's there. It's, but they're conditional. God's is unconditional. He says, this is the one thing that is gonna make you stand out in this world. But it's the hardest thing. This is how you'll know. Now listen, I know already sometimes people read this and they're like, okay, well it says right here, it says love one another and it's just those guys in the room except for Judas, he already left to betray him. But he's telling them this right here. Well, it must just be these 11 guys that he's talking to, right? When it says everyone, this is everyone. It doesn't say that, but listen, but God displayed his agape love already to everybody. He's already done it, so he's telling us to do the same. For those of you who are already not convinced that you should love your neighbor, I'm going to throw it out. Mark 12, 30 through 31. You can write it down, go to it later, and then write me an email if you don't like it. I won't turn there. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but you can if you want. Mark 12, 30 through 31. Jesus says this. Well, what's the most important thing for us to do? Love the Lord God with all your heart. When we say love real quick, that's not phileo, that's not eros. He's saying agape love. Unconditional, forgiving, sacrificial love. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. We like that one because it seems like something we might be able to do. You know, like some people just stop that right there and they'll quote that. There you go. Nope, Jesus goes on. The second, most important, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is agape, not phileo. Storge. It's not eros. It is agape love. The love that I've shown, the love that God is showing, the love that God is the love that we now need to show to those around us. There is no commandment greater than these. None. Now, I just want to talk, real quick. I know, I'm off my notes. I don't care. But if somebody tells you what the most, like if your wife tells you what the most important thing is, your spouse, you're going to do that, right? Well, you should. If not, come, I'll be here tomorrow. We can talk in the office. We should be, right? If your boss tells you, okay, listen, here's your responsibilities, right? But the most important thing that you have to do is this. We would rearrange our whole career to make sure that those things are getting done, right? You know, do this. This is the most important. This is what you're judged on, right? Jesus is saying the greatest commandment ever is to agape love God and agape love others. And people are like, well, who is others? Who's my neighbor? I don't know. We know the answer. It's everybody, because God loved everybody, even when they didn't love him. Because we want to say, well, I'm just going to love the people that like me, or the people that are Christians. Agape love must be shown to your spouse. Listen, married couples, this is important. Agape love needs to be the foundation, as I said earlier, of your marriage. Not a phileo, not eros, not storge. It has to be agape love. How about for your family? Whether your kids do the best or the worst, you are called to have agape love for them. For your children, for your coworkers. Hello. Some of you are like, I'm out. Let me take another step further. Your boss. Some of you are like, dude, I tried. I can't. How about this? How about the people you disagree with on politics? You guys are going to burn me. Just hang me up on there, okay? How about the politicians that you disagree with? Love them. Agape. Unconditional. Forgiving. It doesn't give any, he didn't give any, except for these people. But we do that. Well, you know, that doesn't really apply here. Yes, it does. The person who backstabbed you. Whew, that one's tough. That gets personal. How about the employees at Walmart that asked you to put a mask on when you walked in? I've seen videos online. There's not a lot of agape love happening in that area, you know? How about the governor who said that she was following the science but then forces the least vulnerable of our children to wear masks in school? I'm getting real. Because that agape love, we like to have limits on it, but there ain't no limits to God. There ain't none. How are we showing love to our president? Agape love. I'm not saying you have to agree with them. That's, anybody told you agreeing with somebody is love is wrong. That's not true. You can love somebody and disagree with them. That's something we need to learn. Because guess what? If Christians can start loving people, even when they disagree with them, even when they hurt them, the world's going to go, what is that? That's out of this world. That's supernatural. Yep, and it's not me, it's him, because he gave it to me, and now I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to that guy who pulled out in front of me at Crosby's during a snowstorm and then gave me the finger when he pulled out in front of me. That just happened. What are you doing? Oh, really? That's what you're, okay, yep. Gabe just stuck it right out there. In a snowstorm, like he knew how cold it was going to be and he still did it even though he pulled out in front of me. I'm like, God, bless him. Lord, love him. That's real. I mean, no matter where you put it, it's this thing that is so incredibly challenging. But that's where the sacrifice comes in for us. Because our egos get in the way. I find it funny, Jesus is God. You know, it's something funny, you know this in Scripture, it says that he was God, but he did not consider that something to hold on to. He was God. And he died for us. He's God loving us, and he died for us. Even though we didn't deserve it, he's washing these disciples' feet, even though he knows what they're going to do. They don't get anything. I mean, seriously, they have issues, just like us. But isn't it funny that when we, it's something that happens in our Christian walk, where for some reason, we feel like we've experienced that love, and there's an elitism that comes in. It's like, well, I got the love that God's got for me. Well, that's great, but how is your neighbor going to get that? Your coworker? How are we going to display that? I believe God's given us this command because he wants to be glorified and he wants everybody to experience the love that God has for them. I just want to invite Scott, if you'll come forward, and the elders that are going to be giving. We're going to share in a time of communion here. While they're making their way up, listen. This is hard. It's not easy. You're going to screw up. Just going to tell you that. You know, I don't know. There's pessimistic people. There's optimistic people. I tend to be in the optimism where I think I get out of here and I'm like, yay! And then that same guy in that Toyota Corolla will pull out in front of me again, you know? But let me remind you for a moment that Jesus showed this agape love finest when he laid down his life for us. He said, listen, we read this in John, and John says, there is no greater love than the one that lays down his life for his friends. We're his friends. He loves us. But I just want to remind you that For starters, we had said Jesus was betrayed. I don't know if you've ever felt betrayed in your life. But he was betrayed by men that he sowed into for a very long time, years. He's working with these guys. He's discipling these guys. He's investing into their lives. And one of them just says, you know, I'm going for the money, man. I'm selling you out. That's got to hurt. And I know some of you, I've heard your stories. I know some of you have been deeply betrayed by people in your life. But that didn't stop God from showing love, because he is love. He was falsely accused. Have you ever been falsely accused? That is the worst, because you just want to stick up for yourself and tell the person that's not true. And Jesus just takes it. He was mocked publicly. Man, that happens on Facebook all the time. I see it. Mocking. He was beaten and hurt by the same people he created. And even through all of this, he's there on a cross. And he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you want to know what love is, there it is. Just sacrificially doing that on the cross. I feel like for us, as we enter in here to this moment, sometimes we just have to, right now, I just wonder right now if we can just afresh and with your eyes closed as we sing this song for a moment, will you just think right now about what God's done for you first? Where you were, who you were. Or even this, think about maybe God knows even all the future you could do, all the dumb things you could do. And he still loves you. Father, we just come now to your table and we ask, Lord, would you speak to us? Bring in remembrance what you did for us, we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name. As we hold this in our hands, I'm just reminded again of that sacrificial love that he broke his body for us. Father, there's no way in our human minds we would even think about that. And Lord, it says that, in your word, it says that, Lord, we love because you first loved us. Lord, thank you for breaking your body for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that sacrifice, that we didn't deserve it in our brokenness and how screwed up we are. You loved us even before we turned our hearts to you. Father, this morning we're just coming afresh and saying thank you, but also, Lord, help us do what as you did. No matter how hard it gets, Lord, let us, please, we want to honor you in that. Thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, let's partake together.
Victorious heroes from the tomb, worthy is the one who was and is to come. How glorious the King who will reign, worthy of our blessing, honor, glory, power, and praise. Holy, holy. victorious heroes from the tomb. Worthy is the one who was and is to come. How glorious the King who will reign. Worthy of all blessing, honor, glory, power, and praise. Holy, holy, God Almighty, He is worthy. All the earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy, God Almighty, He is worthy. All the earth is filled with His glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And every eye will see the glory of the King. Every heart will know His glory. Every tongue will sing the glory of the King. Every knee will bow before every eye. And every eye will see the glory of the King. Every heart will know His glory. And every tongue sing the glory of the King. Every knee will bow before Him. Holy, holy, God Almighty, He is worthy. All the earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy, God Almighty, is filled with His glory. Holy, holy, God Almighty, He is worthy. All the earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy, God Almighty, He is worthy. All the earth is filled with His glory.
It's hard not to think of His blood shed out for us without thinking of the forgiveness that He gave. Right now, before we partake together, I feel the Lord is just kind of right now poking on maybe some of our hearts in this room, maybe online, and you've been hurt. There's people who have really hurt you. And you've struggled with the forgiveness. I believe the Lord right now is releasing you from that unforgiveness that you have. He forgave you. He forgave me. Agape love is who He is. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your forgiveness, for Your sacrifice, for Your unconditional love. But Lord, I know in my heart there's unforgiveness, there's things I need to let go. Lord, right now we're just releasing that to You. We're not saying what was done was right, but we are saying that we are not going to hold that person accountable any longer. Lord, thank You for demonstrating that for us on the cross. Thank You, Lord, that You put to bed unforgiveness in this world, that you put that to bed. You gave another out. You gave another option. And it's only through you, Lord, only through you that we can even come close to it. Right now, Lord, I just, maybe in your own words, you just got to forgive somebody. As his blood washed us clean, maybe you need to do that for someone else. Lord, we forgive them. You even taught us, Lord, to pray, Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. Lord, we pray that we could even come even a fraction close to the forgiveness you gave. That we keep striving for that. Thank you for the blood that you shed for us. Thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Let's partake together. I had read in the beginning from 1 John 4 that we love because he first loved us. I just want to say, listen, I know it's hard. I know it's challenging. But accepting that love that he has for us, there's a couple of things that happen. Number one, I believe that there's a forgiveness. We've just prayed for that. There's a forgiveness, I believe, as well, that God is, he's forgiven you, but some of us need to remember that and forgive ourselves. Some of you have been holding on to stuff you did 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. Listen, the Lord is saying, I have forgiven you of that. And maybe part of our problem with forgiving is because we haven't totally accepted God's forgiveness for us and we haven't been able to forgive others because of that. Just accept it afresh this morning, his forgiveness for you, his sacrifice for you, his unconditional love, so that you can go out and do it as well. Thank you, Rich. I want to just say thank you, Rich, for sharing what you did earlier about revival. And that's all awesome. And I pray for revival, but I believe it starts right here. Right, what was we just did in remembrance of him. Not just to remember so we feel good inside. It's also a challenge so that we would do the same thing. He died on a cross. He gave us that. I mean, that's right there. Peter said in this passage here, Peter was like, can I come with you where you're going? He's like, no, you can't, but you will. You will eventually get there, and we know that he did. Right, you know, it's a living sacrifice thing that we're giving to the Lord. So again, I just want to pray for you before we go. Lord, would you just again, through this week, through even tomorrow, as our world is celebrating a human love, that's all they know. That's all they got. Lord, would you just put it each and individually in our hearts that we will start to love like you loved? Even when it's hard, even when we don't want to, even when it seems like I got every reason not to do it. Lord, we ask right now, would you fill us afresh with your love for us so that we could give it to you and then give it to others? And Lord, I pray, we just sang that song that every eye will see, that every tongue will sing. Lord, I'm praying right now for our loved ones, our coworkers, our enemies. Lord, the people we dislike, the people that rub us the wrong way, the people that have hurt us. Lord, I'm praying that there would be a radical love that they would see through us. Lord, that they would then go, I need that from the Lord. I need that from the source, because it's only your source. Is that out of this world love that only you have given, that only you possess, but you have in some way, Lord, you allow us to have as well. Lord, I'm praying for those people. I'm praying for the lost. I'm praying for our friends who don't know you. Lord, but may they experience that love. And Lord, we know you want to do it through us. It says right there that the world will know that you're my disciples because of this. Lord, let that be in our hearts. Let us carry that, Lord, that commandment, that order, that mandate. In Jesus' mighty name. We all said, Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you as you go. We love you. We care for you. If you need any prayer, there will be some people up front to give you prayer. And if not, happy Valentine's Day, and go whatever sports team you want to win. Amen.